Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, 22 December, 2025. 2025 Christmas special.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. See, some of you were in Zechariah. And by the way, thank you all for your prayers with regard to the Christmas program. It was wonderful, and there were many people here who had never been here before. And the response that we got from that was they absolutely loved it. And expressed that, and even their children that they brought. The adults had never been here before, and they brought children here, and the children, all they could talk about was how great it was. So thank you for your prayers. And that was a labor of love by both Randy and his wife, Dodie. In preparation to study the Word of God, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because of that very first Christmas and the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross. For anyone who simply believes in him, you have a plan for us where every single day can be Christmas. Not just a couple of days or a week out of the year, but your plan is so fantastic and so wonderful that the believer can have Christmas every single day. And for that, sir, we are forever grateful. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Article by Tom Gilbreth, Christmas Joy. We sometimes say Christmas song, but we rarely say Christmas hymn. We don't even say Christmas her. Seeing if you're awake. Instead, we say Christmas carol. Have you ever wondered why? Merriam-Webster.com includes this definition of a carol. A popular song or ballad of religious joy. Carol can also be used as a verb meaning to praise and to praise in song. Carols are about joy and praise. So it makes sense that Christmas is the season of carols. Joy surges through every part of Christmas. Lights and other decorations, giving gifts, and singing carols all express joy and celebration. This extends to many non-carols, like White Christmas or even Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, one of my favorites. Before the first Christmas, God sent the angel Gabriel to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And we're going to take a look at that, the city of Nazareth, in more detail than I ever have before. The angel brought a world-shattering message to a young woman there. He called her highly favored, but the quality of his presence and the strange manner of his greeting frightened her. He said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Gabriel told Mary that her child would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That is amazing news. Because to accomplish those words, this child would one day have to conquer death. Well, that was Jesus' sign that he gave the Jewish people. They wanted to know, was he the Messiah? Was he who he claimed to be? He said, "I'll give you a sign. You put me to death, and 3 days later, I will rise from the grave. That will be the sign, my resurrection." And it was a sign to the whole world. Verse 37 explains, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." In the sky over Bethlehem on the night of the Lord's birth, angels sang a most precious Christmas carol. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those men with whom He, God, is well pleased." That song in Luke 2:14 looks all the way from the baby in the manger, to the man on the cross, to the empty tomb, to His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, to His return, to His millennial reign on earth, and the eternal state to follow. The angels sang it as fact, as a done deal, even though we have not yet seen the full manifestation of peace on earth. The world remains turbulent with war and threat and anguish and sorrow and pain. But eternal joy and peace are a done deal because God's promises cannot fail. God is not a man that He should lie. He formed the universe by speaking words. In Isaiah 55:11, He said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. That's why we sometimes refer to Bible prophecy as history pre-written. It will happen just as He, God, said it will happen. Yet the prophecy of peace is not limited to the future. It's true right now for all those who receive it. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In Him we find the fulfillment of Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." That is not to say that everything in this world will be easy. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In a foxhole, during a firefight, or agonizing in a hospital's intensive care unit, or in hospice care with the end in sight, all may not seem peaceful. These things are tribulation. But even when outer calm is not possible, Jesus offers this wonderful thing called perfect peace. No matter what you face this Christmas, painful or happy, calm or turbulent, may the joy and peace of Jesus fill your heart. Merry Christmas. Well, for the next few lessons, we're going to take a look at passages that deal with that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. That is the greatest miracle that this world will ever know, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. So what is Christmas? Charlie Brown asked the question, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" See, some of you've seen Charlie Brown, you just haven't studied the Bible. There you go. "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" For many people, Christmas is all about family, friends, football, food, and any other F alliteration word you want to throw in there. For others, it is Santa Claus. I don't know why. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is dead. So I don't know why there'd be Santa Claus. But Jesus Christ is alive. For others, it's Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and today, Minions. For still others, it is a Christmas tree. And by the way, my least favorite Christmas carol is O Tannenbaum. Why would we do a Christmas carol to a tree? O Tannenbaum. Sounds like the liberals came up with that one. O Christmas tree, Christmas lights, mistletoe. That's what some people put up just so they can kiss someone. Eggnog, singing carols, and giving gifts. Now this last one, giving gifts, that does have a very important relationship to Christmas. In fact, it helps define what Christmas is all about. On that very first Christmas, there was the giving of gifts. Magi, and these were Gentiles. These weren't Jews. These were Gentiles. They even came from Iran. Magi from the East came to worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews. And they brought him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I want you to turn, well, had you turn to Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled. In fact, all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ, that's the word Messiah, where was the Messiah to be born? And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. The prophet is Micah. And before we look at this, turn over to Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Prophecy. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. And his goings forth are from long ago, eternity past, from the days of eternity. So Micah prophesied this way before we had the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have, and they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for so it has been written by the prophet Micah, in Micah 5:2, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. Well, he wasn't going to come and worship him. He was incited by Satan to kill him. Satan attempt to win the angelic conflict. Verse 9, and having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts, giving of gifts, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 14, and he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken of by the Lord, this time through the prophet Hosea, might be fulfilled. And turn over to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, and the word Israel here refers to Jesus Christ. When Christ was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea 11, verse 1. So, spoken by the Lord through the prophet Hosea might be fulfilled, saying, out of Egypt did I call my son. Verse 16, then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and killed all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its environs, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Verse 17, then that which was spoken through another prophet, Jeremiah the prophet, was fulfilled. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. So here we have the prophet Micah, the prophet Hosea, the prophet Jeremiah. So verse 18, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. Verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth that was spoken through the prophets, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Okay. Now we've seen a quote from a prophet Micah, prophecy, a prophecy from Hosea, a prophecy from Jeremiah, all relating to the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we have a statement in verse 23. And they came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, in that last verse, and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, I want to give you this. One, the fact that the family moved to Nazareth was once again said to be a fulfillment of prophecy. It's said to be a fulfillment of prophecy. However, point two, however, the words, he shall be called a Nazarene, were not directly spoken by any Old Testament prophet. However, the words, he shall be called a Nazarene, were not directly spoken by any Old Testament prophet. However, several prophecies come close to this expression. Point three. Isaiah said the Messiah would be a shoot from Jesse's roots like a branch in Isaiah 11:1. So turn over to Isaiah 11:1. And Isaiah chapter 11 is a great chapter on the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and even describes him in the millennial kingdom and millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah 11 verse 1 all the way through, you have the millennial reign of Christ. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. This is verses 6 and following. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them, and the cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's this Isaiah chapter 11 is looking at the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and even his millennial reign, verses 6 through 11. Now, Isaiah 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And, of course, the shoot is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 2 and following. We have the first spiritual life ever lived by the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. And his true humanity was indwelt and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time, so he could fulfill the unique spiritual life and then passed on that unique spiritual life to you and me in the church age. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, Isaiah 11, verse 1. Isaiah said the Messiah would be a shoot from Jesse's roots, like a branch. Point 4. Now, that word for shoot in the Hebrew is netzer. N-E-T-S-E-R. That word for shoot in the Hebrew is the Hebrew term netzer. 5. Netzer has consonants like those in the word Nazarene. Netzer has consonants like those in the word Nazarene. 6. Christ, the Messiah, is declared to be a shoot out from the roots of Jesse. The Messiah, Christ, is declared to be a shoot out from the roots of Jesse. And just as a shoot has an insignificant beginning, just as a shoot has an insignificant beginning, so also Nazareth was an insignificant city from which the Messiah would come. Christ, the Messiah, is declared to be a shoot out from the roots of Jesse. And just as a shoot has an insignificant beginning, so also Nazareth was an insignificant city from which the Messiah would come. Now, since Matthew in chapter 2 and verse 23, notice he used the word there, prophets, in the plural, and came and resided in a city called Nazareth that was spoken through the prophets, plural, not the prophet in all the other passages, Micah and Hosea and Jeremiah. It was the prophet Micah, the prophet Hosea, the prophet Jeremiah. We don't have that. Here we have the prophets, plural. Now that's important. Since Matthew used the plural of the word prophet, and the word prophet is Navi, that's N-A-B, long I, olive, Navi, that's in the singular, that's prophet. We have the plural, and that's Nevi'im. Looks like that in the Hebrew, En Shava. No, that's not a bath. There. Nevi'im. Nevi'im. That's the plural. Nevi'im. We have the plural. So this is not referring to a specific prophecy, but rather to a principle. This is not referring to a specific prophecy, but rather to a principle that appears in a number of prophecies concerning the Messiah's despised character. He would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorn crushed on his head. So this is not referring to a specific prophecy, but rather to a principle that appears in a number of prophecies about the Messiah. He would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. 7. Nazareth was the town that housed the Roman military, Roman garrison, for the northern regions of Galilee. Nazareth was the town that housed the Roman garrison for the northern regions of Galilee. And the Jewish people hated the Romans. They hated the Romans. So Nazareth was the town that housed the Roman garrison for the northern regions of Galilee. Therefore, most Jews would not have any association with Nazareth. Most Jews would not have any association with Nazareth. 8. In fact, those Jews who lived in Nazareth, were considered to be compromisers who consorted with the enemy, the Roman army. In fact, those who lived in Nazareth were considered to be compromisers who consorted with the enemy, the Roman military. Nine. Therefore, to call one a Nazarene was to use a term of contempt. To call one a Nazarene was to use a term of contempt. 10. So because Joseph and his family settled in Nazareth, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was later despised and considered contemptible in the eyes of many in Israel. So because Joseph and his family settled in Nazareth, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was later despised and considered contemptible in the eyes of many in Israel. 11. In fact, this was Nathanael's reaction when he heard Jesus was from Nazareth. Turn over to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Gospel of John, John chapter 1. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll start at verse 45. Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" That was the thinking of the Jewish people this time. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, "Come and see." Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And by the way, Jesus, being the omniscient God, already knows what Nathanael said. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Verse 49. That was it for Nathanael. Nathanael answered him, "Teacher, you are the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel." Oh, it's all after Jesus said that. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So this explains the last one in Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. The prophets declare he shall be called a Nazarene. That explains that. Now, the Magi, they were the first Gentiles who worshiped the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Christ child, Jesus Christ, the Messiah in hypostatic union. And they brought gifts to the king. Now, many of you, if not all of you, in Upland Bible Church, you come here to worship the king as well. You come here to worship the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And you, there's only two gifts that you need to bring. And you, most of you bring these gifts. The gifts of positive volition to God and His Word and genuine humility. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God. Those are the gifts that the winner believer brings as you assemble to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So, gifts are very important to help define what Christmas is all about. One, the greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the entire world. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift of His Son. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So the greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the entire world. The indescribable gift of His Son. 2 Corinthians 9:15. God the Father gave the gift of His Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, at Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. And it's because of this principle I haven't written 20, 30, 40 books. I wrote a very simple purple book, presents the gospel. Just presents what you need to know to have an eternal relationship with the living and true God. And I entitled it, God's Gift of Love to the World. And that little purple book, that gospel booklet, I'm not in competition with any other pastors or anything that's been done in the past. I'm just trying to make something. I've seen a lot of books that have a lot of information, but you don't need a lot of information for the gospel to have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I wrote that God's gift of love to the world, Jesus Christ. And that purple booklet has gone all over the world. It's gone all over America, but it's gone all over the world. Thousands and thousands in Africa. And we've had pastors from Africa. Because they have the purple booklet, they know how to send an email here to the church. and they say, that purple book, that gets rid of everything that's unnecessary and just presents exactly what you have to know to have eternal salvation in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the best. This is coming from pastors in Africa, all over Africa, Kenya, Cameroon, all different areas of Africa. And Philippines, it's gone all over the Philippines. And Ralph LaRosa, who is now in heaven, a tremendous missionary to the Philippines. And his wife and family are still living there and still carrying on the work. And Ralph and Cindy have prepared and trained pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries from the indigenous people in the Philippines. They've trained them. Ralph and Cindy trained them, and they are taking the grace gospel all over the Philippines and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God all over the Philippines. And I hope you pray. I hope you pray every single day for the entire LaRosa family, that God puts a wall of fire around them, protects them, comforts them, encourages them. They're doing it. Well, they have done an absolutely amazing work in the Philippines. So the greatest gift that God the Father gave to the world is the indescribable gift of His Son, 2 Corinthians 9:15. And point two, at Christmas we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son. Gift. He gave a gift of His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have eternal life. Three, the gift of eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. And that salvation is not of yourselves, not works. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Four, God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. Micah 5:2. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas, Micah 5:2. Five, that first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. That first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of that very first Christmas. 6, Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Seven. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory. And in genuine humility, he took on true humanity. Why? So that he could fulfill the Father's incarnation plan for his life, which is the cross. So that he could go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility took on true humanity so that he could fulfill the Father's incarnation plan for him, which was to go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. 8, without his coming, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without his coming, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. 9. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and the cross, the whole world has a hope. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and his work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. 10. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. All right, well, we're going to be looking at, it's going to be a Christmas special, but I'm going to be going into deeper levels than I ever have before, to explain these passages so that hopefully you can learn from it and be benefited by it. So we have class again tomorrow. Christmas Eve, no class. And no class Christmas Day. We'll be meeting again on Sunday. And then after class on Sunday, we have classes Monday and Tuesday. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, communion on New Year's Eve, communion followed by a movie, and then no classes New Year's Day. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.